Okay, today we are going to continue our discussion of letters of the Aleph Beis. We're up to the letter Nun. The letter Nun is the 14th letter of the Aleph Beis. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara only 2 days ago, Daf Kuf Dalet and Shabbos. Remember, every day we review the whole Gemara. Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina. Gimel Dalet, Hey Vav, Zeh, Shmoy, Shalak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud. If you learn Torah and you go Gimel Dalet, then you'll be Zoich HaShem will Zonoischa, V'chonoischa, Meitiv Lach, V'noisitlecha Yerusha, V'koitzitlecha Keser, Lo'olam Hava. Right? Then we come yesterday to Nem. Maimer Pasuach Maimer Sosum, and then we have Nemon Kofuf Nemon Poshut. So the Gemara tells us that the essence of the letter Nun is Ne'emon. A person, a human being who is faithful. Now this is a pattern that I've, Baruch Hashem, we've come across and we've come to appreciate by going to the Aleph Beis, that any word that begins with a particular letter and ends with a particular, that same exact letter, in essence captures the essence of the letter. So seemingly the reason why the Gemara focuses on the word Ne'eman is because Ne'eman begins with a Nun and ends with a Nun, an opening Nun and ends with a Nun. And the Gemara indeed tells us there are two types of Nuns. There's a regular Nun and there's a Nun that's used at the end of the word, which is the Ne'am, called Pashut, and Rashi. Now what, so that's what all the Gemara says, one step at a time. Ne'eman Kofuf, a ne'amon that is bent, and there is a ne'amon that is pashut. What does that mean? That's subject to interpretation. So let's start with Rashi. Rashi on the daf says that a ne'amon is a tzaddik. And in this world, tzaddikim don't have it easy. It's not easy to be a tzaddik. Tzaddikim are persecuted. Tzaddikim suffer. In this world, the tzaddik is kofuf. He has to bend himself. He has to be extremely humble. Take the blows and go and just take it as it comes. A ne'amon that is kofuf. A ne'amon, a tzaddik that is, I guess, humble. I think that's why maybe Rashi even says the word humble. He has to humble himself. He has to bend and accept what comes upon him. And if he'll do this, then in the next world, in Olam Haba, then Hashem will take the tzaddik, stretch him out, and he will be pashut. He will stand tall, erect, will be unique and special, and will receive enormous reward in the next world. This is a beautiful interpretation that Rashi tells us to explain the simple Shan the Gemara, Nemon Kafuf, Nemon Pashut. But I saw a few interpretations. One, this one I really like, is that there are two ways, Michal, you like this. I think some could be some Ara, this. There is serving Hashem with the midah of Ahava, and they're serving Hashem with the midah of Yira. Different types of tzaddikim. Some are like Litvaks, some are Chassidim. There is Ahava. There is an approach of being Neman, you focus on Ahava. And then there are tzaddikim that are kofuf. They're always afraid. They tzitta. Comes, like we said last week, it comes Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, 12 o'clock, their hands are already shaking. There's a Neman kofuf. And then there are tzaddikim have a different derech in avodas Hashem. So that's the two different types of ne'emon, those that serve Hashem mi'ava, those that serve Hashem mi'ira. Another interpretation of the two nuns of the ne'emon kof of ne'emon poshut, I'm not exactly sure this is what the Mefarshim say, but it's a little bit of a drush, that Hashem is called a ne'emon. I would say, there are many, all the animanins, right? Hashem is Neman l'shalem socher. We say, every time we say Amen, Kel Melech Neman. The essence of Hashem, He's Neman. He's Neman l'shalem socher. Hashem is the ultimate Neman with the capital Nun.
Yireya.
What?
Yireya.
Neman Hashem, what? What's the possible?
No, he just said. The next word is
Lirev. Lirev, okay. Yeah. But Hashem is the ultimate Neman. Who else is called the Neman? Moshe. Bechol Beisi, Neman who? Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate Neman. Torah, what comes before the Nun? The Mem. What was the Mem? Mem represented Torah. Mamer Pasuach Maim Esosom. Maim, because Maim is Torah. Hoy called Tzomer L'chula Maim. And the Gemara used the word Mem for the Maimer. Maimer is another word for the words of Torah. There's a Maimer Sosom, Maimer Pasuach, the Niglum, the Nistar. That's why these two letters are connected. Mem Nun. The who gave the Torah? The Torah was given from a Neman to a Neman. It's a Medrash Rabbah. From a Neman to Neman. from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the ultimate Neman, to Moshe Rabbeinu, who receives it on behalf of Klal Yisrael, who Moshe B'chol Beisi Neman Hu. Mi Neman L'Neman. Neman Kofuf, Neman Pashat. So one, this is Josh, who we want to say that one is Hashem, one is Hashem is the Neman Pashat, and Moshe is the Neman Kofuf. I'm not exactly sure what the Josh is, but you have to play with it. Hashem is Yashar.
Whatever that Mida means,
okay.
But it's ultimately that type.
It's a morale type of idea. You have to say, well, there are two nuns, one nun is Hashem, one nun is on Moshe, and it's Mineman Lineman. Torah also, by the way, was accepted with Naaseh V'Nishma, the two nuns. And that's discussed at great length. Naaseh V'Nishma is also captures the essence of the two nuns. Okay, so that's one idea relating to the Gemara of the two, the Gemara Neman Kof of Neman Pashat. We always, every single day, we say, Kel Melchemesh Derech Agav, I'll tell you a beautiful word of the Chazal, tell us, Godol Ho'oimer Amen Yoiser Min HaMevareach. It's a Gemara. The person who answers Amen is greater than the one who makes the bracha. That's what we're up to in Kitz Shochnach, and Simon Vav talks about answering, making brachas, saying Hashem's name. So I saw in this new sefer, I saw yesterday, they brings up from different people that they were different gedolim, they were very makbid, that whenever possible to make a bracha, someone, at least two people, should answer amen, like witnesses. Make a bracha, if someone can answer amen, that really is the hashlama of the bracha. And the Gemara says, in fact, the one that says amen is even greater than the one that makes the bracha. Why? Why is that so? Why is the one who answers amen greater than the one who makes the bracha? So the answer, one of the answers is, when you make a bracha, what do? Baruch atah Hashem, you bless Hashem. Who is Hashem? Elokeinu melech ha'olam. He is the melech of the world. Every bracha has two parts, the Shem Hashem, and Hashem is the melech. When you recite Amen, what are you saying? Kel, Melech, Neman. Not only do you acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Creator, not only do you acknowledge Hashem is the Melech, you are Moisef, Hashem is Neman. Godol Ha'ina Amen Yosef Min HaMavarech, because the one that ends is Amen, adds Shevach to Hashem, that He's Neman. And that's what the Gemara, that's the letter, He adds the letter Nun. He adds Neman, we make a bracha, you just Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol Nieh Bidvaro. But to say Amen, yeah, that's right, I'm asking, Hashem is the Kel, He's the Creator, Hashem is the Melech, but He's also Neman. And that's why,
Amen.
What?
Puts the
nun, exactly. You put the nun into the bracha, and that's the whole essence of the nun. You're adding that nun to the bracha. So another important idea to recognize in the idea of a nun. Okay, now let's go to a little more drush. Moshe Rabbeinu, ki min hamayin nishisiu. So this is now. First of all, what is nun? In Aramaic, nun means a fish. A nun is a fish. That's a very interesting concept. And then Aramaic is the cousin of Lashon Kodesh. And a lot of the Mefarshim, Darshin, nun is a fish. Now, we all know, we discussed at great length, the Maila fish, like Pascha, Zuhamosan, the fish was the only creature that does not destroy the time of the Mabel. Every fish, this man hazeh, is an anical from Maisa Bereishis. Man is not. Man, everything in this world, we're a second edition. After the Mabul came, the world was wiped out. It was a new creation, a new start. Adam was a hangar. It was from the Teva. It wasn't even part of the world. It was taken out of the world temporarily. The only thing that really survived from Maisa Bereishis are the fish. They were swimming around during the Mabul. They were not taken out of the world like Adam and the Teva. And that's why Hasidim are so big into eating fish on Shabbos, because Shabbos all represents Maisa Bereishis, and you want to connect back to Maisa Bereishis, you have to connect to the time machine of Maisa Bereishis is the fish. Okay, there's a lot of talk, kol eichel, dog be dog, nitzol me dog. Anyone that eats fish on Shabbos, 7, 3 plus 7, is nitzol from Dina Shol Gehenin. Fish is something to fish. Fish do not require shechita. Only animals, which are very impulses, which are very unclean, they need this process of shechita and kashrus. Fish, asifa, you take it out of the water, you can eat it. There's a certain tahara that comes in that come, there's a tahara, there's a like paska zuha masan. There is no contamination. There is a certain degree of purity that exists in the fish that is not true to any other part of creation. And the proof is because fish come are the only connection to the pure world of Maisa Bereshis, the Yitzir Kap of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is not true for any other part of this world. That's the letter Nun. The Nun has an extra darga of tahara, of purity, because the Nun is the fish. The Nun is the fish. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's very interesting, it's called a fish. Because min hamaiki, min hamayin mishisiyu, anything that swims in water in the olam of Drush or Machshav is called a fish. It's a fish. So being that Moshe was taken, ki min hamayin mishisiyu, Moshe was put in the water, Moshe was the zelum azeh against the tanin hagadol of Parah, who was also considered himself to be a big fish, a crocodile, in the water. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the fish of Tahara, ki min hamayin mishisiyu. Who is, how do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu is called a fish? Because who was Moshe's protege? Yehoshua. And who is Yehoshua? Talmid of Shel Adam are like your children. In many respects, they're even more than your children. They're more than your children. Yehoshua, who's Yeshua's father? Moshe is Yeshua's father. He's not his biological father, he's a spiritual father. He is Yehoshua, the son of the fish, of Nun. Yeshua ben Nun, because Moshe was his Rebbe, and that's why the Nun comes after the Mem, as we discussed yesterday, because the Mem is Mayim, Mem, two Mems, beginning Mem, the end Mem, the Mayim. After the Mayim comes the Nun. The Nun is what floats in the Mayim. Yehoshua ben Nun, yeah.
Moshe was born in the month of
Adar, fish, dogim.
Mazel
dogim. Mazel dogim. Moshe, very good. Moshe was born in Adar, Zayin Adar. Adar is the mazel of dogim. Moshe is the big fish. He is the Nun. He is the real fish. And Yeshua, it's a beautiful word. Yeshua is the son of Moshe. Yeshua, Talmid of Shel Adam, Harehim Kibanim. It's like your children. And Moshe bin Nun. Nun is Tahara. Torah only goes to a person who is in the state of Tahara. Fish. Go to Chassidus Shatish, the Rebbe gives, Shirayim gives you fish. There's something to it. I have no idea what it's about, but there's something, this concept of Tahara. They're giving you, the Rebbe is giving you a Nun. He's giving you a shtickle Nun. He's taking you back to the letter Nun. Okay. Now let's go to another idea about the letter Nun. Yovel. Yovel, we discussed 40 years, 20, 40, maybe we do all these different ideas of the experience of life. A life experience is 40 years. We discussed yesterday, 40 years. But 50 years represents, I don't really know how to put this in a word, I don't know how to define it, but it is, it represents this world, the total of. Let me just tell you the pasuk. The nirtza, the eved ivri, after 6 years, a half the es adoni the es ishti lo yetsa chavshi. So you bring him to the door. Aladeles al mezuzah v'rotz adam v'ter v'avado le'olam. What is olam forever? What is forever? Olam oishol yovel 50 years. So what do you learn from this? An incredible idea. This world, oilam, this physical world here and down here is 50 years. It's defined in blocks of 50 years. It's oilam haba. That's a different concept. Oilam hazeh is defined in terms of 50 years. Now this is fascinating. It's going to blow your mind. I blew my mind. How long is ideally a person supposed to live for? 120 years, pasuk of the Torah, right? V'haya yamav me'av esrim b'shagamu basa v'haya yamav me'av esrim. How many years will the world exist according to our tradition? Which is not, don't get too carried. 6,000. Don't get so carried away about it. How much is 6,000 divided by 120?
50.
This oilam, this world, is broken up into 50 units of 120. Man is meant to live for 120 years. Okay, people don't live 120 years, whatever. But that's the ideal. B'shagam hu basa v'hayu yamav me'a v'esrim. That's what the ideal is. And the tradition is 6,000 years. The oilam, this world, is 50 units. There are 50 yovlois. From the beginning of creation until the end of the world, as supposedly we know it, as it's recorded in the various midrashim. So it's an idea. It's hard to define. So what does that mean? The Yovel is 50 years. We go in, there are 50 Yovelis from the beginning of the world to the end of the world. 50 cycles of 120 years. The world, time in this world is broken up into concepts of 50. Man's experience in this world is not necessarily 50. Man's experience, we discussed yesterday, is 40. An experience, a transition experience in life, person can have three of them, right? You can have 40, 40, 40. Moshe Rabbeinu. A chunk of time that you experience in life personally is 40 years. But when you take yourself out of the equation and you look back from the world, from the global scene, the world is defined in groups in years of 50 years. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now this idea, I saw this in this Rabbi Ginsburg, that Sefer, Rabbi Ginsburg, I told you, is a very big Talmud Chacham, he's a Lubavitcher Chassid, he's a very big Talmud Chacham. He says there's such a concept, I don't know if I never heard this before, that it's known that the ideal ratio of reproduction in this world is 1 to 14. Did you ever hear of this before?
No.
I never heard of this before. To Google this, that the scientific thing where one person or a team, a man and a woman, ideally should reproduce 14, have 14 children. Go bankrupt when you go out of your mind. not for the lighthearted, but there's such a concept. Not only human beings, among animals, nature. I don't know where this comes from. I don't know. He says there's such a mitzias. You Google it, you'll find the source for this. So he says, what's nun? Nun is a fish. From all of the first one to be blessed with pru revu with a fish. In fact, when Yaakov gave the bracha to Yosef, the yidgu loroiv, the karev aretz. Fish reproduce more than any other creature. They were the first ones that Hashem gave the bracha to reproduce, which was on what day of the week? For Wednesday, right? Wednesday is the day of the fish. That's why some people. That's why
Tuesday night.
That's why a shevavim they do it bedafka on Wednesday because that's the time of pru revu. The whole there's a lot of Torah on this pru revu fish. Fish. Now let's say, what is a fish? A fish is a nun. Now this is very interesting. What is the Gemara? What is the letter Nun? The Nun is the 14th letter in the Aleph Beis. Now, we discussed this a few times. After you finish the Aleph Beis, you get to the 22nd letter, the letter Tav. We're not finished. You have five more letters. We have Man Tzipach,
right,
the end letters. Now, you have to put Man Tzipach in the correct order. Man Tzipach, you start, you go in the order of the letter. After you come to the letter Tav, then comes the letter Chof Sofis, the end Chof. Now, that means that the letter Tav is the numerical value of 400. So what is Chaf, the end Chaf? 500. Then comes the Mem, 600. Then comes the Nun, 700. And then of course 800, 900, that's going to be the Tzadi. And then the Aleph, and the Tay and the Tzadi, right? The end is the Tzadi, it's 900. And then we always mention that then comes Aleph. Aleph is Aleph, is 1,000, right? We mentioned that before. You go from 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900. That's the last of the end letters, the Tzadi Sefis, and then comes Aleph, Elef. You wrap around Nochamo. Okay. But in this order, what is the letter? What is the letter Nun? All this is built on a foundation which you don't even agree. So the whole thing might not look like a whole bar. But what is the Nun? The Nun is the number 700. The end Nun is 700. So he says that look at this. How many 50s? Take the three numbers of Nun. Nun is the grammatical equivalent of 50. Nun is also endless is 700. How many? 14.
It's
the 14th letter. But not only is it the 14th letter, the ratio between the opening letter and the end letter is also 14. 50 to 700. So it says Nun is fish, and in nature there is such a concept of ideal ratio of reproductions 1 to 14. That's why the Nun is so much related to the number 14. It's the 14th letter. The ratio between 50 and 700 is 14. Nun is a fish. Fish have the brach of Peru, Uruvu, Viyidgu, Leroba, Karava, Aretz. All of these ideas blend together into one idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, now this you probably, I'm sure you've heard, this is just a review, I'm sure you've heard of this idea, is that the Nun has no shidduch. the Nun was the first one to suffer from the Shidduch crisis. Because if you take the Man Tzipach, there are how many letters? There are 27 letters. There are 27, we discussed yesterday, there are two really middle letters. There's the Mem and the Nun. It all depends how you order the Man Tzipach. Let's assume that we're going to order the Man Tzipach where we're going to insert, we're going to add the end letters to the Man Tzipach at the very end. Aleph through Tav, 13, Aleph through Tav is 22 letters. And then 5 letters, Man Tzipach. So what's the middle letter? 14. So what's the 14th letter then? Nun. The Nun is the middle. Anything that's in the middle doesn't have a mate. If you don't have a mate, you're all alone. And that's why in Ashrei, there's no Nun. Chas Shoshon, there should not be in the feel of a Klal Yisrael. That's why it had to be added to the Samach Samech Hashem L'chol Nofem. Why is the Nun a Neufel? Because the Nun has no Zivug. The Nun is the middle letter. There is an odd number of letters. Every letter, there are 27 letters. If there are 27 letters, every single letter can be matched up with another letter. You can find the Zivuk, you find the Shidduch. But the only one that can't find the Shidduch is the odd number, the odd letter, which is the Nun. What does it say in the Pasuk in Koheles? Toiv Shnayim Minhu Echad. Because Kiyim Yipolu, if one Kiyim Echad, what's the Pasuk? If one falls down, Hasheni Yakim es Chaver v'ilu echad sheyipol ein sheni lahakimoy. It says the Pharisee in Koheles. If one falls down, toiv shnayim. If there are two and one falls down, the second one will pick him up. But if you're all alone, there's no one to pick you up. V'achud ha'meshulosh. That's the ultimate loy b'meheri you not take. But what do you see from Koheles when you're all alone? Kiim yipolu. No one's, if you fall down, no one's going to pick you up. It's the ultimate Neufel. That's why the letter Nun in Ashrei is called the Neufel. Soimech Hashem l'chol ha-Neuflim. Because it's the middle of the letters. There are 27 letters. It's the odd man. And the odd man, the Pasuk in Koheles says, has no one to pick him up. He is the Neufel. So the letter Nun is... So that's the letter Nun. Now what else is an oddball? The Hey. Because if you want to count to, you know, there are three units in the Aleph Beis. There are the tens, there are the digits, the single digits, and then there are the tens, and then there are the hundreds. So if you want to count up to the letter 10, so each number, each letter has a zivok. One can add one you add with 9 to get to the number 10. 2 goes to 8, 3 to 7, 4 to 6. But the letter Hey is all alone. The letter Nun in the ten is also all alone. So together we have Hain. And what else do we have? If you want to go count the end letters, so you have of Kuf, Reish, Shin, Tov, and then the Man Tzipach, which is 5, 6, 7, 8. Which one is going to be in the middle letter? It's going to be the Chaf Sofis. Let's look at, there's another letter that's also, when you go into the hundreds, we should do the hundreds. We have Kuf, Reish, Shin, Tav, that's 400. What's the fifth, what's 500? The Chaf Sofis. Man Tzipach, but you start in order. Man Tzipach, the Chaf Sofis, that's 500. So there are three letters that are loners in each respective set. The letter He is a loner, the letter Nun is a loner, and the Chaf Sofis is a loner. What do they spell together? Hinoch. Hinoch, and that refers to cloud, yeah?
Actually, better than that is Hain Am Levadad.
Right. So if you just focus on, there are two ways, this drasha goes two ways. If you want to ignore the hundreds, that's, you want to just focus on the digits and the tens, then it's going to be Hain. That's the bracha of Bilam. Bilam said, Hain Am Levadad. Hen, am, I'll curry, hen, am, levadad yishkon. You're one of a kind. Klal Yisrael is hen, the achas. They're unique. In some respects, it's a maila to be hen. And then if you want to take into consideration the letters at the end of the Aleph Beis, the hundreds, then it's hinoch. Hinoch yofor rayosi umum inbach. You are beautiful. You're one of a kind. Hinoch, those three letters together. So either Yidash and Hain or Hanoch. And the Gemara also says that in Yevani is Achas. In in Greek, the word hain, this hain, that word, means singular. Singular. It's all rooted, the etymology of hain is rooted in the Torah, because the two letters, he and nun, are unique. They do not have a zivug in each respective set from 1 to 10, from 10 to 100. Okay, that's another idea. I think many of you heard that before. That's idea which appears in different places. Okay, now there's a pasuk in Shaya that says that the name of Mashiach lifnei shemesh yinun shemo, describing Mashiach. Not to go through all the details of Mashiach, but one of the names of Mashiach is yinun. Yinun. Yinun? Yinun. Hold on. Yinon Shemo. Yinon. So Yinon, the Yud is appears to be a prefix, and the name of Mashiach is Nun. Mashiach represents Nun, because I guess you have to fill in all the drush, is that this world requires a tikkun of Melech HaMashiach. He's coming to Misakin this Olam, and you have to have one of your own. Therefore, the Nun is the name of the Melech HaMashiach. Yinon, that's his name. And in fact, David, which king was, we discussed yesterday, there were 30 kings. There were 30 leaders since the since the time of Avram Avinu until Yoshiyahu. 30 generations of kings. Avraham was considered to be considered the first Melech. Shlomo was the 15th. Yoshio was the 3rd. We discussed this with Lamed. We weren't here in Cholatei. Lamed, we discussed there are 30 different generations of kings, starting with Avraham and the last being Yoshiyahu, who died 22 years before the Churban. He was really, that was supposed to be the Churban at that point in time. Hashem extended the Mikdash for another 22 years, but the 15th, when the moon is, the number 15 was Shlomo, David was the 14th. And what is 14? David is really the true beginning of Malchus. And Malchus is David, and also David happens to be the Mispar Katan, is the Gematria of 14. David, 2, 6 and 2 Dals is 14. So everything about David relates to the number 14. His gematria is 14. He's considered in Chazal to be the 14th generation since Avraham. Avraham through Yoshiyahu, 30 generations. 30 generations of kings. Lamed represents Malchus. We discussed. Lamed is Malchus. There are 30 generations of kings. Avraham through Yoshiyahu. After Yoshiyahu, it was really over. And Shlomo was the greatest of the kings. He was number 15 when the moon is B'toikvai. And number 14 is the one that comes right before. And David really the seeds of Malchus. That's why David is number 4. David is the Gematria 14. The 14 is Nun. And Nun is the name Yinon Shemo. The name of Mashiach is rooted in the letter Nun in David Melech Yisrael Chai Vekayam. What?
They named the boy as far as she was.
Yeah, they named Yinon? Really?
Somebody asked the father why, and he says because of the moon of Mashiach.
His name is Yinon. I was once in a shul, I was laning, and they called up a guy, Yamoid Mashiach Ben David. Mashiach Ben David. Mashiach Ben David. So the gabbai, it was a big crowd. So the guy, he goes, "What's your name? What's your name?" Like, so he says, "Mashiach." So he goes, "Say that again." And everyone was watching. Mashiach. He says, "Your name is Mashiach." So then everyone was watching. He says really loud. He says, "You know how we've been waiting for you." And the whole shul broke out in loud laughter. Mashiach ben David, we've been waiting for you quite a long time. Okay, now let's go to another idea. This is more a Kabbalistic idea. I've seen this brought down that there are exactly this is a pattern. Something that begins with many of you do this at the end of Shemona Esrei. Some have the minute to say a pasuk that begins with their name, right? If your name is Reuven, so you find the pasuk that begins with a resh and ends with a nun. So there's something to it. Find the whole pasuk where the first letter and the last letter. So in the Tanakh, the entire Tanakh, there are only 11 psukim that begin with the letter Nun and end with the letter Nun. The entire Tanakh. There are 3 in Chumash and another 11 in the rest of Tanakh. So being that the letter Nun is a pure letter, it's fish, leposko zuamosan, it represents yovel, drawer, freedom, oilon. There's a lot of mysticism associated with the letter Nun, and there are so few psukim in Tanakh. How many psukim are there in Tanakh? There are a lot of psukim in Tanakh, and only 11 psukim in the entire Tanakh that begin with the Nun. It has become the tradition of many, I assume by the Svardim, people that are into these type of things, to recite daily, to recite often these 11 psukim. And it's some type of Kabbalistic school. We're not from those type of people, but...
Because when you get to the Olam Haba, they ask you your name.
But that's a name. But there's something about reciting these 11 psukim. Okay, whatever it is, but it's just an idea. It's brought down in a lot of these 11 psukim. The other thing I want to point out is a beautiful parish in the Rosh. The Rosh or the parish in the Chumash. Drush in the Chumash. And he says something very interesting. He says that Naaman, what happened with Naaman? The general Naaman, he had Tsaras, and he came to Elisha, and Elisha told him that he's going to cure him. He should dip in the Yarden 7 times. So the Rosh who wrote a parish on Chumash, he says, why did Elisha tell him to dip in the Yarden 7 times? Because it's really hidden in the Torah that this is what should be done. Because the 3 psukim in the Torah that mention mention at the beginning with the Nun, end with the Nun. Let me read you the word. Let's read the psukim. The one pasuk is Nachnu Na'avar Chalutzim Lefnei Hashem Eretz Kenan V'itonu Achuzas Nachaloseinu Me'ever La'Yarden. This is in Parshas Pinchas, I believe. Parshas Matos Masay. Now we're going to pass Chalutzim Lefnei Hashem V'itonu Achuzas Nachaloseinu Me'ever La'Yarden. B'nei God Ruvain. And God, Chatshev and Menashe, we're going to take our portion of the Aver Hayardain. That's one pasuk. Another pasuk is Negat Saras, Kisieb Adam Vuhuva El Hakoihein Saras. And the third pasuk says, Novi Mikirbecha Miachecha Kamoni, Yakim Lucha Hashem Lokecha Elav Tishmaun. 3 psukim. So the Rosh says, these 3 psukim tell us what to do. If someone comes to the Navi, if a person comes to the Navi, Elisha, I'm the Navi, and he comes to me, and he comes to me regarding a question of Negat Soras, Kisiya B'Koyein, V'Huvo La'Koyein, the solution is, you shall go to the Yarden, V'Tonu Achuzas Nachaloseinu Me'Ever La'Yarden. A very beautiful drush. So the reason why Elisha told Naaman to go into the Yarden to dip 7 times, because the only three Pesukim in Chamisha Chumshei Torah that begin with a Nun and end with a Nun, and we have to also understand this idea that Naaman also begins with a Nun and ends with a Nun. So Naaman's essence relates to the letter Nun. Any word, that's fair game. I told you, take out a dictionary and show me 1,000 words that begin with the letter Nun, that's not fair game. But it's fair game to show me a word that begins with a Nun and ends with a Nun, that more captures more the essence of the year.
It's very nice. But what are the problems
what?
Beginning and ending with the same letter, of any of the letters?
The proof is, in the back of every sitter, you have all the psukim.
I don't know what...
Okay, you're right, I don't know either. But there's this. Look, the fact is that there's such an inyan of saying a pasuk that begins the first letter, so there is such a thing. And you have here these 3 psukim which capture the direction, the instruction of Naaman. Okay, now let's just go to... from this week's Haftarah. This is very important. Sometimes the letter Nun, this is a very interesting idea. I never knew this until yesterday. I think I once heard this a long time ago, but there's even Rashi in the Gemara that says this, that in Aramaic, we know that there are certain letters which are interchanged for whatever reason. The classic example is the Beis and the Pei. Barzel, iron, Farzelah. Right? You always change a Pei and a Beis. Decher, Zecher. You always change a Dal with a Zayin. There's another idea that in Aramaic you change a resh with a nun. I don't know why, but that's how it is. A nun and a resh are commonly interchanged. They're interchanged. Why? And we're going to come to that soon in Ezra. We'll learn now Ezra. So in the beginning of Ezra, we have those long list of names. So, exactly. That's the half from 10. We'll get to it. But we're going to have now, we have a name, Ruchum. We had a name in this in Ezra. His name was Rechumah. We're going to learn the same. We discussed. We learn Ezra in Nehemiah. We're going to go through the names again, and there they're going to be Shinuyim. So the guy Rechum, that person Rechum, is going to be called Nachum. Why? Because the Reish and the Nun are interchanged at times. In this week's Haftarah, you're going to read a few times, Nevuchad Retzar. So are they going to correct the Balkorei? No. But don't we all know if it's Nevuchad Netzar? So why Nevuchad Retzar? Because someone else, a different person. Because sometimes the Reish and the Nun are interchanged. And that's something. Okay, another idea. Now, this is a very interesting grammatical idea, beautiful idea. That sometimes the end of a nun is added to the end of a word, and sometimes a vav nun is added to the end of the word. So, what is the significance of adding a nun to the end of the word and adding a vav nun? So, adding a nun to the end of the word signifies dargoy bekach. The classic example given all the mafarshim is we say on Rosh on Yom Kippur ki ata solchan l'shifte yishurun umacholan bechol dar v'dar. Why do we say solchon? Why don't we say kiata soleach, kiata mochel? Why do we say? Do we make the word soleach to solchon? What?
Why the plural is it?
Takes the man.
Instead of having parentheses and some azorims.
Yeah.
Soleach.
Interesting.
Kiata solchon. It's kiata mochel to soleach. You have an parenthesis.
Okay. Very interesting. I didn't know that. Okay. So we do find this idea that there are many examples. Where we take a word, I can't write down all the things, all different examples. There are many, many examples that when you add a nun, besides the plural, it's not only the plural, because sometimes you have words that are in plural and you also add a nun. I don't have all the examples in front of me. It signifies darkoy bekach. This is your custom. This is the way it is. I guess since the letter nun represents shlemus, it represents 50 years, 50, which represents the totality, it doesn't just mean, oh, you do it once in a while. This is what you do. This is what you do in your day job. This is what you do for a living. So when you say kiata solchon, Hashem darkoy bekach. It's your derech to forgive people. It's your derech to be moichel. Kiata solchon, kiata mecholon. That's why you have many examples. There's another good example of sasun. Sasun. Okay, it represents the idea. It is your derech. That's one. Now the next thing is sometimes you have a vav and a nun. Now, this is very interesting. Like for example, Shabbos, Shabboson. Yosem the almono lo se'anun. It says be'etzef tel di banin etzef, and but it says by parnasa be'itzavon tochalna ochal
tochalena
be'itzavon. So what about the vav and the nun? Now this is a little complicated. Sometimes the vav and the nun, it goes to the extreme. Sometimes the vav and the nun means not a little bit, a lot. Or it means not a lot, just a little bit. In the pasuk of Yosam v'almon lo sa'anun, it means don't harm them or don't afflict them even a little bit. It doesn't say Yosam v'almon lo sa'anu. Don't cause them pain. Yosam v'almona lo sa'anun avav nun. Don't cause them even a teeny little bit of pain. Shemitah is called a year of Shabboson. Why is Shemitah called Shabboson? Some far saying because in Shemitah it's not Shabbos. You can do malacha. You can talk on your cell phone. You can go email, do whatever you want. Just there's certain things you can't do to the land. You can't plant, you can't plow. You can go to the land, you can pull off grape, you can even pull off toilet for kitzar. There are ways you can do it. Just don't do it kedarkoi. Don't. So it's called Shabbos. It's a little Shabbos. Just a little bit, not a lot. So we have this idea that when you have a vav and a nun, it just means a little bit. But on the other hand, a vav and a nun go to the other extreme. The Gemara says that parnasa, to make parnasa, is more painful than childbirth. Childbirth, you think, is the worst thing possible. It's the greatest pain. Making parnasa is even greater. Be'etzev, what's the passage? Be'etzev chabanim. But Parnasa, it says, Be'itzavon tochalena. There's a vav nun. And the Gemara says that it's doubly painful to make Parnasa than it is to give birth. So you have the idea of the vav and the nun comes to signify double. Yom Kippur is called Shabboson. Why is Shabboson? Yom Kippur, not only now to Malacha, you can't even eat. You can't even eat. You can't do anything on Yom Kippur. There's an intensity to the Shabbos of the Shabbos. So it's a very important grammatical idea. Three different things. A nun at the end of the word means darkoi bekach. A vav nun at the end of the word either means go to the extreme. Sometimes go to the extreme a little bit. Sometimes it means go to the max. But don't stay in the middle. Don't stay in the middle of the road. Go to one end or another. Very important idea. Now, what about the unusual nuns? So everyone knows. Yeah.
Also, the nun is the retirement age for Leviyah. Right?
The nun is the retirement age for exactly right, from 30 to 50, right? The 50 is the retirement age of the nun. Right. Very important point. We have the unusual nuns. What's the only large nun in the Chumash?
It's a chesed
la'alof. That's it. Wait, where? There's a large nun. Notes there?
Notes
there.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay, I'm not. Okay, I didn't pick that up. I'm sorry, I didn't pick that up. Lemishbaton, right? That benos slavchot. The Moshe Rabbeinu he brought by Yaakov Moshe as mishbaton l'vnei Hashem. So there are long. A lot of these pirushim I don't really are not satisfying. But one the only one that it really got me was it's a very difficult question. Nun represents also a concept. The nun levels of understanding. Moshe Rabbeinu reached Nun. Shlomo HaMelech said, I didn't reach that level of Moshe Rabbeinu. The 50 levels of Tumah, the 50 levels of Tumah, 50 levels of Chochmah. But the letter Nun, a large letter Nun, they presented Moshe Rabbeinu with a question, and Moshe didn't know. Why didn't Moshe know? Because this was the difficulty that lies in their question. The women, are the Yarsh and Eretz Yisrael, was part of the Nun Shari Chochma, but the upper level, the upper limit, was a large letter Nun. It was an extremely difficult question. Even Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the answer. He had to present it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something along those lines. Okay, now, I don't know all the psukim. There are a few psukim in Tanakh where you have an end Nun that's very small. That's very small. It's a very interesting idea. Very large nun, an end nun, and you make it small, what does it turn into? A Zion. So all of the drush that relates to the long nuns being short, don't read it as a nun. You have to read it with Yipshut Shal Mikra, but read it as a Zion. So Oren is a name of a certain type of wood. But being that the nun, Oren, it's like a small one. Oyrez. It means that this type of wood is related to the cedar family. Or there are seven types of oyrez. Another idea where nun turns into a large nun turns into a zayin when you make it small. Okay, I kamat got everything I wanted to tell you. Let me just make sure I got what? Also, I give another example: the ishon. It means the people of the eye. Why is the people of the eye called the ishon? Rashi, it's Rashi and Chumash. It's an incredible Rashi. Because in the people of the eye, you see a little man. When you look at someone, it's a mirror. You see the reflection of yourself. So there's a little man in the eye. Ishon. The Vav Nun always takes something and takes it to an extreme, like Be'itzavon or Lo Sa'anun. So Ish, a person. A person is 6 feet tall. But in the eye, he's a teeny little person. He's a little Ish.
What's the word after Ishon? Eino.
Ishon Eino, the pupil of the eye.
Right.
The pupil of the eye, because in the eye you see a little Ish. An Ish, that's Vav Nun, that's very, very small. Okay, Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Two nuns, right? Two nuns. So according to Sumtish, the law, the first nun is very large. Yeah, it's a large nun because Hashem is going to give us nechama. Okay, what about, someone mentioned, what about the inverted nuns of Ayi bin Sawa Ha'orayim? So because that signifies that it's not its location. There are many perushim. One perush is that where does the parish of Ayi bin Sawa Ha'orayim really belong? It belongs 50 parshios back. Go look at the psuchos and the stumos. Okay, the psuchos and the stumos, go back 50 parshios, and you'll find exactly that's where it belongs. So we have inverted nun backwards. Go back 50 parashios.
So why is it put there?
Why to mafsik paranis? Rashi is because they have chazaka. They committed three sins. There are three sins that they committed. If we put them all together, it would be a chazaka. There shouldn't be a chazaka, so we put in another parasha in the middle. But really, this parasha belongs 50 psuchos vestumos backwards. So what does it mean there?
It means for the two nuns that have to place the next pasuk is right.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the
shades. Ahadim, okay.
The next possible.
Some say the reason why they're backwards nun is because they had charata and nasa v'nishma. Nun is nasa v'nishma. They had charata and nasa v'nishma. Okay, there are other ideas relating to that. Let me just see, make sure I got all of the ideas. Okay, we have a new Ashrei, Sumech Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim, L'chol HaNoiflim. So what happens? So Hashem, the nun is missing, but we have Sumech. When Hashem supports a nes, nun samach, the nun is matched with the letter samach. So it's a miracle. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports those who fall, it is nothing less than a miracle. Okay, let me just make sure I got everything here. I think I got everything I wanted to tell you. On this side, it's done. And, you know, in the sense of Perkei Avos, when a person is 50 years old, now he's roy to give eitzes. Can be madrach the person right away. When a person is 50, I'm telling him private jokes in between these lines. He knows what I'm talking about. Okay, let's see. Everyone knows when Pesach and Shavuos there are 50 days. It's a process. 50. Well, that's all part of that idea. Okay, I pretty much think we got everything. Let me just see. Okay, that's it. Have a wonderful day.
Nice year tomorrow.